Good morning. Good morning. Let's just quickly pray. Father, thank you for the words that I believe you have given me from this scripture. Lord, but I pray that you would now open our ears to not only hear the words I say, but more so to hear the words that the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, open our ears, I pray. Each one of us, that we might hear your voice during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Acts 5, it says 17 to 26, but we actually started at 12. Acts 5, 12 to 26. And it starts off with, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. There we go. There is a map of the temple. You can see the temple right in the middle, and the arrow points to where Solomon's colonnade is. So they are within the temple area, but they're not in the holy place. They're not in the real spiritual place. They're sort of in the courts, where not only the Jews but also the Gentiles could go. And while they were there, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And those that were sick or those that were tormented by evil spirits, all of them were set free. So this is sort of at the temple in the outer courts, that their numbers are increasing, they're finding healing, they're finding freedom. And the high priests and the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. So the high priests, who were the high priests? Well, the high priests were Sadducees. We often hear about Pharisees. We don't hear a lot about the Sadducees. They were the religious leaders. They were in charge of the temple. Their job was protecting the religious practices, and that's what they did. But actually, their real job was worship. Their number one priority was worship, and they sort of had shifted to protecting the religious practices. Now, I just want to do a quick Pharisees, Sadducees. So the Pharisees are in charge of the law, the Sadducees are in charge of the temple. The Pharisees would do interpretations of the Torah. So they had the Torah and the interpretations of the Torah, the prophecies of the Old Testament, all of it, while the Sadducees, they stuck with the Torah, the law. They were quite narrow in their beliefs. The Pharisees were generally the middle class, so they weren't poor, but they weren't the richest, while the Sadducees were the upper class. They were the aristocracy. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection, and the Sadducees did not. The Pharisees believed in the afterlife. The Sadducees did not. And the Pharisees rejected the Jewish leaders. They didn't want to connect with the Romans. They, in one sense, they were a bit of a rebellion against the authorities. While the Sadducees supported the Jewish leaders and they supported the Romans. So Who were the ones who mainly here seemed jealous? Well, it was the high priest and the Sadducees. The aristocrats, the wealthy, many of them would have been merchants as well as religious people. They had a lot of money. They were more the conservative branch of Judaism. And they did not like the fact that these group of followers of Jesus, well, their numbers were increasing. They were, it says jealous, but I had a look at, well, exactly what does this word say? And actually, I love this bit. In the Greek, it says zealous, as in Z-E-L-O-S. So zealous, I assume it's how it is. And this means a fierce and passionate emotion that is a mixture of jealousy and envy. Today in modern English, we often just use the word jealousy, but there is a difference between jealousy and envy. Jealous, if you are jealous, you are overprotective of what you have. It's mine, you can't have it. Envy, it's yours and I want it. And this word is a mixture of both. And so they are jealous, they are envious, and it's a fierce, passionate emotion within them. They are angry. They are really angry. Why are they angry? Well, they're losing their followers. So here we have a jealousy and an envy. I'm jealous because you're touching what's mine, and I'm envious because you're receiving them and we're losing them. They were angry because their teachings were being rejected. Now remember, these were the Sadducees, and they did not believe in the afterlife. They did not believe in the resurrection. And these guys are teaching the resurrection and the afterlife. And the Pharisees were not happy because their interpretations of the Torah were being rejected. And they're jealous. They both saw this new group rapidly growing in number, and they're envious. The teaching on the death, resurrection, and repentance, and the miracles, the healings, the freedom from tormenting spirits. These guys were not really very good at that, and suddenly we've got a group and everyone is healed. Jealousy and envy of others will kill spiritual growth. Especially jealousy and envy of other churches. And what does it lead to today? Well, it doesn't lead to people in the church who are jealous of other churches because of their church growth. It doesn't lead to us being thrown in prison, but it does lead to us grumbling, complaining. And we have a lot now on the internet. We're calling these people out. And it's interesting, the people who are doing that. It tends to be the churches that have been big and successful in the past and are now shrinking. And on the internet, they're calling out the churches that God is now using. People like Bill Johnson, Mike Bickle, and Francis Chan are regularly being called out. Yet these men of God are men who seek after the God of love, the God of power, the God of miracles, and their churches are growing and people are being set free, and there's a lot of grumbling among the churches that are shrinking. And it's something we need to be very careful of. Where are the Pharisees and the Sadducees today? God's moved them. And in their jealousy, what did they do? Well, they arrested the apostles, all 12 of them, not just one or two. This one, I've often missed the fact that all the apostles, in the first arrest, all of them. And if you do something in jealousy, and you're passionately envious when you do something, you're not going to be very subtle. And I imagine that the arrest was a bit like I imagine the arrest of Jesus in the garden. There was a lot of pushing, a lot of thumping, a lot of kicking. I can't see it being a nice, quiet, "Would you mind coming to the jail, please? You know, would you mind please putting your hand behind your back so we can handcuff you?" I don't imagine that. I imagine there was a lot of noise, a lot of pushing, a lot of dragging. And it's because we have jealousy, but also we have people who are used to power. So when jealousy and power meet, we have bullying. We have corruption. So the apostles are now in prison. And in the middle of the night, the doors were opened. Who by? An angel. God didn't get a person in there with a key, he sent an angel. Now this is one of two examples we have in the book of Acts of angels going in and opening prison doors. We have here, Acts 5, where the angel opened the prison doors and all the 12 walked out. We also have in quite a lot of detail in Acts 12, where Peter has an angel come and opens the doors and he's set free. And then if we go to Acts 16, we have Paul and Silas. This time God doesn't use an angel. He uses an earthquake. And the earthquake opens all the doors and all their chains fall off. God doesn't do things the same way quite often. He likes to do different things in different ways. And we've got to be careful not to sort of, God did this once, so this is the method. There are times when that happens, but quite often it's not. But he opens the doors. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom to go and live a nice life somewhere, nice and comfortable, nice and relaxing on your sofa with the TV and... No. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And the angel said, "Go! Do something! God sets us free, not so that we can just say, 'Oh, I'm free.' God sets us free so that we then do something with that freedom. And that freedom is to go and reach the world. And we are called to do that. What did the angel tell them to do? Go back to Solomon's colonnade? No. Go into the temple area. You're on the outside and you get arrested. How much more are you going to get arrested if you go on the inside? The angel said, go. And they go and stand in the temple courts. Here we can see with the red arrow where they were, and then the purple arrows are the temple courts. Much closer to the holy place, much closer to the Holy of Holies. And in the Jewish thinking of that day, and remember, these guys were Jews, the closer to the temple you were, the nearer to God. As you moved closer to the holy place, you're moving closer to God. James 4 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. And Jesus is calling us, come near to God, and he will draw close to you. Draw close to God. Come into the temple courts. Get closer to the Holy of Holies. In a church I was part of a long time ago, we used to sing a song. Maybe Colin and Lynn will remember it. And as I was looking at this song just came to mind. If you know it, please help me out here. Take me past the outer courts to the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I long to see your face. Take me past the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. God calls us to draw close. He calls us to go past the outer courts. They were in the outer courts. And he called them into the temple area. When God calls us to draw close to him, it's not a passive waiting to be carried into God's presence. It's an active listening and moving. An active, what are you saying? Now go. And they did. They went into the temple courts. It says, verse 21, at daybreak they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. Despite the danger, despite the risk of another arrest, they'd probably just been really manhandled the day before, and suddenly they're in a much more vulnerable place. They're in a much more holy place. The chances of being manhandled now are even stronger. They would have been nervous. They would have been anxious. But they rose up. They rose up. And they did what God called them to do. Go and speak. How can we do this? How can we do this? How can we rise up against our fears, our anxieties? We've heard God, and God says, go. And everything in me goes, oh my goodness, I can't. So much fear. This is how we do it. And it's going back to James 4. James 4, 7. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Then come near to God and he will come near to you. Submit yourself then to God. What is the prayer? Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus had to submit himself to God. Did he want to go to the cross? Not in that Garden of Gethsemane. He said, if you can take this away from me, please do. But not my will, but yours. And there are sometimes God calls us to do something which terrifies us. I know certainly when I was abroad, some of the things that suddenly were placed in front of me filled me with absolute fear. And I just had to say, okay, God, you get me through this. I don't want to do it. It fills me with fear. You get me through it. And things here. Yeah. Funny things make me fearful, you know, phoning up Virgin Media, knowing that I'm going to be on the phone for the next goodness knows how long, listening to music, worrying about what they're going to say. You know, and I sit there saying, God, help, because I am getting ready for an argument, and then they turn out to be really lovely, and they just do what I want, or not. But why did they go to the temple courts? Why did they go to the temple courts? They'd submitted themselves to God. They had resisted the fear. They went there to teach about Jesus. They went there to teach the resurrection, which the Sadducees would not like, because the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection. So the Sadducees would be saying, you're teaching heresy. They went there to teach repentance, which John the Baptist had taught, and look what happened to him. And they went there to teach the forgiveness of sin. And the Pharisees had made it very clear, only God can forgive sin, not this man Jesus. But actually, Jesus says to us, if you forgive someone, then I will forgive them. So they're not only going to where they're going to be fearful, but they're teaching things that they know are going to make the Sadducees angry. The high priest is going to be angry. They submitted, they resisted, they drew close, they received the command, they obeyed, and they put themselves once again on the line. At this point, when I was preparing this, I came across a psalm. Don't know why I particularly came across this psalm, but it just was there. Psalm 73, just one verse, 28. Psalm 73, 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Draw near to God. Choose to trust him. Go and declare his word. And it just fits around what these there it is on the PowerPoint. It just fits all that this part of Acts seems to be teaching. We draw near to God so we can give him worship. We can praise him. But there's more. There's more. We draw near to God so we can receive his word, his written word, but also his rhema word, his spirit speaking to us today, and life through the Holy Spirit. We draw near to God so we can be sent to others to share. And we draw near to God so we have the courage, the power to obey this call. Because it is sometimes a very scary call. Have you ever tried sharing Jesus when you feel that God is so far away, when you haven't spent time in his presence and you're just there getting on with life, and then you try and share Jesus? How does that feel? you know, now and again, God will zoom in and it just flows. But quite often it's just hard work. Because God says, how can you share with them something that you're not now experiencing because you haven't drawn close to me? Only as we draw close to Jesus can we share the gospel with power, authority, and love. Especially love. So, all of the next morning, and the apostles are now in the temple courts. The priests and all of his buddies called together the full Sanhedrin. So this would have been more than just the Sadducees. This would have been the Pharisees and all the others. And they basically said, go get those prisoners. Go get those 12 apostles. And the report back is, they're gone. They're gone. Not only are they gone, but the prison doors were locked. It says that. We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. The angel not only unlocked the door, he locked it again. Why did the angel lock the door? Because the apostles probably came out of the jail and began to think, oh my goodness, what's going on? Let's go back. And he said, no way, I'm locking that door. You can't go back. And we do want to go back. Sometimes we do want to go back. You've only got to look at the Israelites when they came through the Red Sea. Within a little while, they were saying, can we go back? Can we go back? And God says, no, I'm not opening that Red Sea again for you. I am going to do all I can to stop you from going back into captivity. But we actually quite like captivity because it's a bit safe. It's not comfortable, but it's safe. After this, a new report came. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. Very weird. Very weird. We stopped you doing that in the outer courts yesterday. We put you in jail. Now you've somehow got out of jail. You obviously can walk through walls. And now you're not only in the temple area, you're in the inner courts. And you're teaching. And they decided to arrest them again. So we have two arrests here. The first arrest, as I said earlier, it was probably quite a violent, quite a lot of fists and shouting, because they were jealous. They were envious of the believers' success. And they used bullying, abuse of power, corruption, and arrested them. The second arrest, it says, they did not use force. Why not? Because they feared that the people would stone them. The religious leaders, they were in the temple courts every day. They saw the miracles that the apostles were doing. They witnessed the miraculous empty prison cell. They heard about the boldness of the apostles. And they still did not fear God. They feared the people. They feared the people. They still did not have the fear of the Lord. They did not draw close to God to find out what was going on. Because to draw close to God, James 4, it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you, and come near to God and he will come near to you. Maybe they wanted to do the last bit of that, but they weren't willing to submit. They weren't willing to submit to God. They never prayed the prayer that Jesus prayed in Luke 22. Yet not my will, but yours be done. They didn't pray it. Dangerous prayer. God will answer that. God will answer that. Maybe not how you want it to be answered, but he will answer it. My story. Not all of it, don't worry. You're not going to get the whole lot. Just this little bit. July 1996, I had been living in Hong Kong. I'd been there 6 months. I had faced some of the biggest challenges I'd ever faced. I'd also faced some of the greatest joys. My dream of moving abroad and being able to help people had come true. And in July 1996, it crashed to the ground with a huge thump. And of all places I ended up living in Bedford, in the middle of England, the last place I wanted to be. I did not want to be in England, and I certainly didn't want to be in the middle of it, in a very flat area, probably one of the flattest areas. I love mountains. And suddenly I'm in Bedford, which sort of describes what it's like, Bedford. I know some people love Bedford. I'm not one of them. And I was not happy. I did not want to be there. And I said to God, why am I here? And he said, to seek me, to draw near to me. And I was, how long? 3 months. 3 months, seek me. Do nothing else. And that was tough, because I like to do things. And so I did. I spent 3 months seeking God. And then I said, okay, I've sought you for 3 months. What now? And he said, I want you to do it again. And I said, why? Why didn't you just tell me 6 months? And I felt him say, because you wouldn't have done it. 6 months was too long. So I gave you 3 months, and now I've given you another. And anyway, after 6 months, I began to get it. And I submitted. And it was hard. My prayer became, if you want me to live in Bedford for the rest of my life, I am willing. Not happy, but willing. I resisted. I resisted the depression of that. I resisted the fear that he might say yes, and I chose to worship. And he began to suddenly move in deep ways. He started setting me free from some real spiritual warfare that had been going on in me for years. A lot of struggles were dealt with. And he began to draw me closer to him as I began to walk closer to him. And he began to speak. And suddenly he said, on the 8th of August in 1997, it was very clear, he spoke, go back to Colchester for 1 year, and after that I will send you back to Asia. So I did it. I moved back to Colchester on the 8th of August 1998, exactly 1 year to the day. I sat on a plane flying to Xi'an in the middle of China, where I spent the next 17 years. Submit. Those men had to submit to God, resist their fears, draw near to him, hear the command, go. We have to submit to God, praying, your will, not mine. We have to resist the devil, saying, fear, go. And we have to come near to God, saying, here I am. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. Father, as we come, help us to be men and women who submit more and more to you, who come into your presence because we have submitted. Help us to resist the things that will hold us back, the fear, anxiety, but also as we ponder on maybe the life that we live now and not willing to let go of it. Father, help us to be people who submit, who resist, and who come into your presence, who come into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, so that you can then speak and send us out, so that others can come into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.